Welcome back to our Bible study program, hour number two, the Ask the Pastor Hour. Maybe you want to go back into Genesis chapter 4, following our discussion with Pastor Tim Ostermeyer on that chapter. You might have a question or two that you want to deal with there, or if you'd like to set the table with something else, you're welcome to do that at 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Let's say good morning and welcome to our guest on the telephone, Pastor Robert Jarvis, pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Morris, Minnesota. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chuck.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. We got a nice day here in St. Louis. I guess it's a little chillier up there in Minnesota, yes?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. We do have some frost, but it'll probably get into the mid-40s, I would imagine, today. I hear it's going to get into the 50s there. Is that correct?
Yep. We have a nice November day going here.
Yeah. But we did have flurries, snow flurries on Monday.
So we've already had
our snow.
You get the snowshoes out and the shovels and the salt and everything?
Not quite.
Not just yet. Well, I just have a stack of things here that we can talk about. And, of course, if callers want to come in, they are welcome to join us at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. One of the things I want to talk to you about is a story that's come from the Associated Press. Interesting story. And I wonder what your thoughts are on it. Obviously, there are gaps and holes here that mean we have to assume some things, but your reaction, I think, would be interesting. It has to do with Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe says he plans to be baptized by the end of this year. He's 43 years old, and he has done an interview with Men's Journal. He says, quote, "My mom and dad decided to let my brother and me make our own decisions about God when we got to the right age," unquote. Crowe adds that he started thinking recently, "If I believe it is important to baptize my kids, why not me?" Crowe says he'll be baptized with his one-year-old son in the Byzantine chapel he built on his Australian ranch for his 2003 wedding. The couple's three-year-old son was previously baptized there. The Oscar-winning actor told Men's Journal that he's come to believe, quote, "There is something much bigger that drives us all," unquote. And he adds, "I'm willing to take that leap of faith." Now, if you were Russell Crowe's pastor, which I realize is we're stretching it pretty far here.
I'd be living on his ranch.
Yeah. Based on his words here, as we have them from the Associated Press, what do you think?
Oh, that leap of faith really makes me nervous. It does not sound like a scriptural understanding to take a gift that God has given us and say, well, kind of Pascal's wager sort of thing.
What is Pascal's wager?
I think that's what it's called. Oh, boy, I was hoping that you would know if I would try to fill it in. But something to the effect of, you may be right and I may be wrong, and there's no big deal, and there's like four squares in a box. And the last one is, but if I'm right and you are wrong concerning a God, then I'm going to be okay and you're not. Have you ever heard anything similar to that?
Well, here's what I have, thanks to Google. Pascal's wager is the name given to an argument due to Blaise Pascal for believing or for at least taking steps to believe in God. The name is somewhat misleading, for in a single paragraph, Pascal apparently presents at least three such arguments, each of which might be called a wager. It is only the final of these that is traditionally referred to as Pascal's wager. We find in it the extraordinary confluence of several important strands of thought: the justification of theism, probability theory and decision theory, used here for almost the first time in history, pragmatism, voluntarism, the thesis that belief is a matter of will, and the use of the concept of infinity. Any of that resonate with you?
I guess I was just looking at it in terms of this, I want to hedge my bet, is kind of what it sounds like Russell Crowe was saying there. What's interesting about this is that my daughter has been inviting a friend with her to Sunday school in midweek. My daughter is 11 years old, and she's had a friend that's been coming with her who is of Native American spirituality. When we talked to her a little bit about church, she talked about a sweat lodge. And in case some of the hearers are not familiar with what that is the idea is that they basically sweat out their impurities by sitting in a lodge, almost like a sauna, I suppose.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Oh, that's a good religion. If you like saunas, anyway.
Yeah, really. So anyway, maybe there's a little more to it. I'm not quite sure, Well, I said something to her about being baptized, and she says she wants to be baptized, but when she dies. And she says, that's what my grandmother did, or something like that. And I thought, well, she's only 11, so we've got some time to talk to her. But it seemed like a similar attitude as what Russell Crowe was doing. And, oh, well, I'm going to hedge my bet.
Here's another definition, maybe a more clear definition.
Is this for Pascal's wager?
Yeah, it says the wager posits that it is a better bet to believe that God exists than not to believe, because the expected value of believing is always greater than the expected value of not believing. That's probably a better summary.
I think, that's a good thing there, which is unfortunately kind of what it sounds like Russell Crowe is doing. I mean, I would like to be able to say wonderful that he is being baptized. And faith is created through baptism in an infant. I don't know. I mean, I don't. Oh, this
how do you
is
feel
one...
about? How do you feel about? And now, with all due respect and gentlemanliness. My mom and dad decided to let my brother and me make our own decisions about God when we got to the right age. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that's negligence.
Negligence? That's a pretty strong word.
I know. I'm sorry. But the parents being, and I might be offending some of your listeners right now, but as I consider the fact that children don't generally... gravitate towards going to church. They may be spiritual. I mean, especially in the culture we're in now. The fact that Russell Crowe is 43 says he's exactly my age. And so I kind of think about what it was like as I was growing up.
Are like brothers.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Exactly. Yeah. Except he was born in Australia, I think. I just don't think it's a wise thing to do. And I would say negligence, especially based on what the Bible says in Ephesians, where it says that fathers bring your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
So if I were a member of your church and my wife and I just had a baby, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful event in our lives. And we see you at church and you say, I hear there's a new one in the family. How's Mrs. doing? Mrs. doing great. We have a baptism soon? And I say, no, I think we're going to let the child grow up and make his own mind up about that. What would you say to me?
I would say, I'd like to meet with you to talk to you about what baptism is all about.
All right, let's meet. So now we're in your office. What are you going to say to me?
Well, I'm going to say that you are, I may not say the word cheating, but there is a precious gift that God has for this child, and you are not letting him have it, or her have it, whatever the child would be.
See, I see it differently, Pastor Jarvis. You know, I think one's religion is one's own personal business, and I just don't feel comfortable imposing my own personal beliefs and my own personal religion on this sovereign child of mine. And, you know, he'll be his own man someday. He ought to be able to make up his own mind.
Oh, let's see. I'm going to be starting some adult classes for catechism.
You want me to drive up there? And maybe you can straighten me out.
Oh, well, actually, I realize that you are just role-playing with me, but that would be a very common attitude that people would have, just like you said, that, well, he can make up his own mind. I don't want to impose my own beliefs on him. Well, the fact of the matter is, if we're talking about baptism, we are talking in the realm of God, the Almighty God, the Triune God, who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's not something that we pick up just along the way. I mean, it is something that he has to reveal to us in his word, as his church would teach it. And by doing that, they are implying that there is no truth. And now we're into, you know, kind of a postmodern discussion here, that there is no truth, which, if getting back to Russell Crowe, is kind of what it seems like he's saying. And I was like, well, you know, I'm taking the wager, you know, right. And I'm even going to go along the Christian route.
Let's see what we got a caller here who wants to get involved here on a car phone. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Phil, what are you thinking?
Oh, well, when I heard the story this morning, I figured, well, maybe now Mel Gibson can make the story of Paul and have Russell Crowe be Paul.
Yeah. That's a best construction perspective there.
I have a question. Oh, I'm sorry.
What did Phil say? He could...
Well, if he gets baptized, then Mel Gibson can have... He can produce the movie on the Apostle Paul, and Russell Crowe can be the lead character.
Yeah, there you go.
But I do have a question. They named the cathedral that he had built for his wedding. I can't remember the name right now, but I was wondering what religion that was.
Oh, I don't know.
Byzantine sounds like it'd be Orthodox.
Yeah, that's it. That was it. What is that?
Eastern Orthodox, probably?
I would say so, yes. You know, there was the Byzantine Empire that was the... Oh, I may be wrong here. If you want to Google this, too... 4th and 5th century, and, you know, it was definitely what would be considered Orthodox now. Maybe it's Uniate, I'm not quite sure. We'll be getting an answer any moment here.
Yeah, are they Trinitarian is what I was wanting to
say. Oh, yeah, I would say, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, definitely Trinitarian. I'm sure it's Christian.
Well, it's possible that through seeing his children being baptized, because he said that's what influenced him, and hearing everything, maybe God did create true faith in him.
That's a good point. I thought he said that he was going to be baptized with his son. Did he experience some other baptisms? I didn't quite catch that.
Well, I think what the quote was that he thought if it was important for his children to be baptized, maybe he should be too.
Yeah,
I
was reacting to it. I kind of recoiled a little bit when I heard that he had built a chapel for his wedding.
Let me read
ranch.
This. Let me read this to you. This is the first thing that I've come up with here, which I think is kind of interesting. You want to stay on the line, Phil, or you want?
No, I'll go ahead and hang up. Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
April 7th, 2003, at Russell Crowe's ranch at Coffs Harbour in the state of New South Wales, Australia, 310 miles north of Sydney. Russell Crowe opted to have the ceremony at his own ranch in New South Wales in a chapel Crowe has especially built on his land. Crowe's groomsmen arrived in style on motorcycles given to them as a gift from the man himself. Approximately 10,000 clear Swarovski crystals bejeweled the bride's Armani dress, with the groom also on a long Armani jacket. The wedding reception took on a rather musical form, the groom performing several songs, music from the Australian Chamber Orchestra, and an ABBA cover band. In all, the wedding was a three-day event, including a family cricket match and a fertility blessing from an Aboriginal shaman.
Ooh.
Or shaman.
Ooh.
So it's getting increasingly shaky here anyway. Let's take another telephone call here. Numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Would the Aboriginal shaman be involved in the baptisms? That's my question. Well, that caller has gone. So,
Yeah. The syncretism is starting to make me even more nervous.
The syncretism. What is syncretism?
Well, just if I'm using the right word, mixing with these other religions. One of the classic examples, I believe, of that would be Voodooism, which is taking the spiritism and the ancestor worship and mixing it with Roman Catholicism, and you come up with, you know, the voodoo religion. And I believe that is a syncretistic religion. I think I'm using the word right.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Okay. And when you have the Aboriginal shaman, you know, performing, I think, a fertility rite, it's like, ooh, you know. The whole idea of him building a chapel on his ranch, is this where he goes for worship? And is there a congregation? Does he have a pastor? You know, the Byzantine thing, like I said, sounds orthodox, but it's not it's not a branch of orthodoxy that I have that I'm familiar.
It's not a large building. It's a fairly small building. As you're talking and I'm surfing here trying to find some information, it says that the two of them, Daniel Spencer and Russell Crowe, added a 26-foot-tall dome to the chapel inspired by the skyline of Rome in his visits to Paris. This is a great place, he says. If we had gotten married in some chapel in Paris, it would be a big deal to go back to that place, whereas this will be where we spend all our life together, says Crowe. Hmm. Now we can host christenings and other marriages. Maybe my son's wedding. That would be interesting. So I don't know. I don't think that it's a Sunday morning kind of a place. But
is that part of his spirituality?
I don't know.
I wonder.
I'm going to continue to surf while we talk to Frank, who is calling from Las Vegas. Hi, Frank. You're on the Bible study.
Good morning, Chuck. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Frank.
Very interesting. I personally like the acting of Crowe. I like the movies he's been in. I think he does a good job. But
he is a great actor.
Yeah.
So he's obviously going to heaven.
Well, it illustrates from all the wonderful programming on KFUO over the past several years that I've listened to, what I think has kind of basically catechized me in terms of pointing me in the right direction in terms of what God says in his word about certain things. And Russell Crowe seems to me, he illustrates the perfect example of what Pastor Baker on the Law and Gospel broadcast was talking about a few days ago, where he was going to Time Magazine's article saying that Finney was the most influential person in American theology and Western thought. And that's what Russell Crowe is illustrating, is decision theology, where people think that the natural man can actually make a correct decision to know God and to come to him, whereas the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions say just the opposite. And they say that baptism is one of the, what they refer to as the means of grace by which God the Holy Spirit comes and enlightens and creates life where there was none and enlightens the mind so that, like in Corinthians 2:14, where it says that the natural man cannot understand spiritual things properly because he's dead. And Russell Crowe, he's got the law imprinted on his heart, and where it says in Romans 2:15, he knows basic right from wrong. He knows there's a God out there, but he's confused in terms of who that God is and how God reaches him. And the Lutheran understanding, which I believe is the scriptural one, he comes to us through certain means, and baptism is one of the biggies.
Mm-hmm.
He comes and he gives you his Holy Spirit as a down payment, a seal of the things to come, and he gives you the forgiveness of sins. And so, like Chuck Rather was mentioning, or you were mentioning, that he's actually neglecting that gift of God to his infants by denying that, or saying that they can make a decision whenever they want to when they get older. I just wanted to throw that out.
Thank you, Frank.
You bet.
Yes, thank you, Frank.
Pastor?
Well, he was saying that Russell Crowe, I don't think, is planning on denying that of his kids. But, and here's the thing about it, is his pastor going to be responsible? When his pastor, and see, that's the thing about it. I mean, you can have a parent who would say, I'm going to get my kid baptized. And they see it as sort of like this magical rite, you know. Well, you know, I've got make sure that he's going to be a better kid now because he's going to be baptized without an understanding of what baptism is all about. it's not for the pastor to go, okay, let's set up a date and let's go do the baptism, but rather to say, what do you understand this is about? What do you think is happening here? Why do you think God wants you to have your child baptized? Why are you baptized? And most likely, you know, the parent that wants to get her child baptized, his or her child baptized, is also baptized. And so it's really, it is good that Crow wants to be baptized with his child. The way that it was stated, you know, it reminded me of Pascal's Wager. But if his pastor, a priest, an Orthodox priest, I would imagine, would not merely see this as a rite to go through, but actually would see this as an opportunity to direct them, direct Russell and I suppose his wife, to all the things that Christ has commanded his disciples, that this would be actually be a very good thing.
Here's another caller before we get to the bottom of the hour. Hi, Jane, you're on the Bible study.
Hi, I may have had the wrong take on this, but when you talked about the Byzantine Chapel, after doing tours in Europe and even in Israel, you go to a lot of different places and there are Byzantine architecture, and they'll say, you know, this is one built in the Byzantine style, not that that's necessarily a Greek Orthodox church or anything anymore.
Yeah.
That's what
it's probably just a commentary on its style.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
You know, that could have been, or it could have just been, you know, that they do. And I was just wondering if he might even be doing the baptism himself. Who knows? Thank you.
All right. Priesthood of all believers, I guess.
You know, Pastor? I think you're right. What was her name?
Jane.
Jane, okay. Yeah, you know, I think about it, and Byzantine is probably used to describe an era or architecture or whatever, and maybe it's not even necessarily Christian. I was thinking about it, and, you know, I'm kind of at a loss for what Byzantine actually defines. It sure sounded like it was Orthodox, but maybe, like she said, you know, this is the description of the architecture. You talked about how they saw domes in Rome and were inspired by that. Well, I was thinking of the Orthodox cupola.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like an upside-down onion or an onion, you know, how you
right,
see
right.
some of those pictures like St.
It's kind of the way this looks.
What's that?
It's kind of, this kind of the way this looks, actually.
Should I be on Google looking at these pictures myself?
Well, you're going to have 4 minutes to do that here in just a moment because we're going to take a break. I'm looking at the Fox News story on this, and it says that the couple, Crow and his wife, have two sons, 3-year-old Charlie and 1-year-old Tennyson. Crow says, it is consecrated in everything. In the December issue of the Men's Magazine. Charlie was baptized there, and when Tennyson gets baptized there, I will too. And then it says, Crow, a reformed Aussie bad boy with a reputation for throwing temper tantrums, is more spiritual than people may think. And then again it says, I do believe that there are more important things than what is in the mind of a man, he says. There is something much bigger that drives us all. I'm willing to take that leap of faith. Now, what I'd like to explore with you, Pastor Jarvis, on the other side of the break is, what would you say to somebody who's listening to us and they're saying, what is wrong with you guys? I mean, these Hollywood types are losers from the word go when it comes to biblical and theological things. Here's a guy who's finally coming in your direction, and you want to nitpick him to death and find the flaws in his baptism and in everything else. Just let him come in your direction. Eventually he'll get there. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Here at AM 850 KFUO, we thank God for blessing our founders with the vision and wisdom to embrace broadcasting as an evangelism resource long before people owned radios. You have to wonder what legendary broadcaster Dr. Walter A. Meyer would think of worldwide KFUO today, serving local listeners with a high-definition signal and reaching the ends of the earth with streaming audio via the Internet. We do know one thing he'd recognize as being the same: our commitment to communicating God's saving grace through faith in Jesus Christ in all of our programs. If you share the vision of our founders and want to continue fulfilling the Great Commission through Worldwide KFUO, here's a personal invitation for you to become a charter member of the AM 850 KFUO Founders Club. Your support will go a long way toward making sure KFUO continues to be a reliable resource to people for years to come. We'll even invite you to our annual Founders Club dinner.
How human were cavemen? Find out next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
There are numerous sites where evidence that people once lived in caves have been studied. The idea that the first primitive human beings, on their way from becoming apes to humans, lived in caves is very ancient. Greek and Roman evolutionists wrote about it over 2,000 years ago. However, we need to ask whether people who lived in caves are truly less human than we are today. And when we think of the term cavemen, we usually think of creatures that are less than human. Evolutionary belief has had its effect even on minds that accept the truth of the Bible's account of creation. Several years ago, a group of so-called primitive cave people called the Tassadai were reportedly discovered in the Philippines. Dozens of scientific papers and articles were written about them, showing how they supposedly represented ancient man. Then it was discovered that the entire tribe was a hoax. Recently, Indonesian Christians have made contact with another cave-dwelling people. These people, the Basap, live in a remote area of Indonesia. The Christians presented the gospel to the chief and left. 9 months later, they returned to find the fruit of their labors. 100 members of the tribe said that they believe that Christ is their savior. Baptisms were carried out with the chief's blessing. The lesson is that from the very first individual, human beings have been fully and completely human. Each has been a creation of God, loved and sought by him. And God has a special place in his heart for those we often consider the very least among us.
To get a complete set of transcripts from Creation Moments programs, ask about the book, Letting God Create Your Day, when you visit us online at creationmoments.com. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth. Post-traumatic stress disorder is on the rise with veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. Hi, I'm Dr. Mark. Join my co-host Michelle Bauer and me on Life Revised as we speak with an Army chaplain who has been in three wars and helps soldiers and their families with scars you can't see. Join us on Life Revised, because life is a series of revisions.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
November is a month when our thoughts turn to Thanksgiving. It reminds me to say thank you to all of you who generously support the radio ministry of AM 850 KFUO with your prayers and gifts, particularly those of you who are day sponsors. If you have a special date in November, we still have some days available for day sponsorship. Call me, Chuck Rather, at 314-505-7831, and I will personally arrange the details. 505-7831.
You're listening to the Bible Study. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour. Pastor Robert Jarvis is with us here today, and we've been talking about baptism, 21st century, what was that term you used? Syncretistic?
Syncretism. That's a word I should have been looking up. I did look up Byzantine,
yeah.
And Jane was correct when she was talking about the architecture. I was thinking of the era, and the era was when Constantinople was the capital, and I was thinking about how that, since that's over in Turkey, that would have been Orthodox. That would be the Christian side of it. And so that had a lot of influence on there, and that's why I said it would probably be Orthodox. But that may just be a description of the architecture.
I Googled about as much as I could Google there in that 4 minutes, to the point where I think I'd reached the circular pattern. But I did discover this from something called M&C, where it says, hold on, earlier this year, Russell had a high-ranking Australian bishop baptize his son at his own private chapel. The Hollywood actor organized the bishop to travel 100 miles to his country house in his native homeland to conduct the ceremony because he wasn't happy with the local vicar. Russell and wife Danielle were joined by close family and friends to witness the christening of their baby son at the chapel built near their family home. During the blessing, the Oscar-winning actor led the assembled guests in a rendition of Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head before inviting them into his home. So, You know, it just when it sounds like it's getting good, then it goes in another direction. Let's take another phone call here. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Joyce. You're on the Bible study.
Hi. I was just going to comment, and I think you pretty well have researched it, that I was also in agreement with Jane. I had been to Italy, and I saw those chapels. They're usually next to an actual church, and they're used strictly for baptism. There'll be the high dome, small building, not much larger than a large room in your house. But it's always been with Roman Catholicism.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
So it had more a Western Christian
meaning. That's what I am seeing with this. Of course, in Australia, he has a little problem trying to find Roman Catholics since I think they're 96% Protestant there.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the demographics of Australia as far as religion is concerned, but
right.
I know there is a Roman Catholic contingent in Australia. All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
When saying had the bishop come and they talked about the vicar, that kind of says something about the church, but I don't think it says very much. And my guess is if he doesn't like the local guy and he probably is not getting regular pastoral care, we are really stitching a lot of things together and trying to fill in a lot of gaps. It just does not look like the men's journal was all that interested in giving us all the details that we wanted to know.
Well,
but I did the Google and I'm looking at the cover of it and Russell Crowe, our favorite SOB, is the name on there, and I'm thinking, oh, wow. And that sounds like a guy ready to be baptized.
And apparently that's part of the deal, and that's what leads to the question that I made before the, before the break. I think Russell Crowe got in trouble. He threw a telephone at somebody or something like that, and he seems to be famous for his temper and his lack of control sometimes. But you and I should view this as good news. We have watched other stars and are watching Hollywood types, media types devolve, going down to crash and burn. Here's a guy who at least is showing some signs of coming in our direction.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he doesn't agree with you and me on everything as it pertains to what baptism is and what it means and how it should be done and whether or not it should be in a Byzantine chapel. But at least it's coming in our direction. Can't we at least just celebrate that, Pastor Jarvis?
I don't know about celebrating it until we know that it does come further. I don't, I'm not the pastor who he's asking to do the baptism, so I can't do anything there, and I have no contact with the guy who will. But I would hope that the person, the pastor that he does ask, will have the conviction to say, Russell, I think this is great. This is a photo op and all this kind of stuff, a good publicity thing. But I want you to know that this is God working here, and to tell him about it and not just leave it where Russell kind of calls the shots himself and says, okay, we'll do the baptism, and I'll sing Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head Again, and that'll be on my head as well, and then we'll go party. I don't think that, the burden does not fall on him as much as it will to be the pastor.
Let me ask you this. I'm just going to play with some assumptions here because that's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I pretty much shared everything that I've been able to find on the Internet here, being the great resource that it is. But let's just assume that the bishop is coming to baptize the one-year-old and baptize Russell Crowe as well. And the bishop is a representative of what we would call Trinitarian Christianity.
Okay.
And he does the baptism. And then they leave on their motorcycles, and they sing Raindrops Are Falling on My Head, and they go to a party up there on the ranch, and they watch some Russell Crowe movies, Oscar-winning movies. It all looks very worldly other than perhaps the baptism. Is he still baptized?
I was considering that question, the first part, when we were talking about it, and wanted to steer away from it because I wasn't quite sure. The word is what is effective. But it seems to me that where faith would be created, in the child, where he doesn't understand it, the rational mind of the man. Now, I'm also speculating that he is just doing it basically on Pascal's wager kind of thing and saying, well, hey, this is good, you know, it can't hurt for me. He does not see himself as the sinner who is in need of salvation. He does not see that he needs Christ as a shield when he approaches a holy God. That's my assumption here. He's not going to unless he is told that. And if it goes the way that you have described it, I would say the Holy Spirit would be working there, but his rational mind would be pushing it away.
What's the difference between what we're talking about here in terms of Russell Crowe and the apparent ceremony that we've been discussing, and Lutheran parents or Roman Catholic parents or Episcopalian parents who bring their child up to the front of the church for baptism with a lovely, long, flowing, and been in the family for 150 years gown, and assembled sponsors or godparents, and then lunch at the house afterwards. And it turns out that after that, they don't come back to church. They don't put in the hands of that child the Bible or perhaps the catechism. What's the difference?
The parents...
I'm really being rough on you, aren't I? Sorry.
That's fine. The parents have only given half the gift. The gift is the word that comes with it. Baptism is the beginning of a life, and they have only given birth, and now they are leaving the child to starve to death, basically, if that's all they're going to be doing. In a way, it makes mockery of the gift if they do not give him more. I unfortunately, what you've described is probably very common. Is very common, I'm sorry to say. Was it effective? Yes. The work, the words, did what they were supposed to do, and the gift was given. But the faith that is created would starve to death if it is not fed.
Let's take a telephone call here, 505-780-1800-730-2727. Hi, Jeff. You're on the Bible study.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Interesting discussion. Actually, Pastor Ostermeyer, I think, sort of started to cover my first point. I had this exact discussion, what day is it, Wednesday, 4 days ago on Sunday, with a person who was upset with me. I'm a pastor in Missouri, and a person was upset with me over not wanting to baptize a particular person who's kind of in a similar situation to where we're assuming Russell Crowe is. And the way I phrase it, and I really appreciated Pastor Ostermeyer's words here just a few minutes ago about the gift and not making a mockery of the gift and not giving birth and then starving the child to death. Baptism is not an end in itself. It is a means. It's a means of grace, which grace isn't even an end. Grace is a means to salvation. And if I were to baptize someone who, well, they're coming in my direction, as you put it in your earlier question, which was a good way of phrasing that question, and it's kind of the way people come at it. Well, they're coming in our direction. Maybe he doesn't know everything about the faith. Maybe he's not, perfect as a Christian, and none of us are. So why not celebrate that and baptize him? Well, if I do that, I've basically solidified for him that baptism is an end, and so he can be baptized, and then he can go on his merry way and not have to worry about all of the things that go along with the Christian life. And that's actually doing him a disservice. That's, in fact, that could be condemning him to hell, potentially.
All right, thanks for the call.
Jeff, I think it's a very good point. I was leading a Sunday school teachers meeting yesterday, and we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it said that, I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, that they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea into the name of Moses and so on. They ate the spiritual food and drank the spiritual rock, and yet God was not pleased with them, and their bodies were scattered across the desert. The point of the fact is they go through the rituals, and yet, you know, and God does the work. It was still spiritual, and yet they took it for granted. That was the way that I had worded it to my teachers yesterday, was that they received God's providence, but they took it for granted. And do we find people who are baptized and then take it for granted? Yes, unfortunately so. And what he was saying is we're encouraging that if we do that. Now, might we have an assumption that they will do, that the parents may do that? Unfortunately so. If they say they're going to do it, oh boy, I don't know. It's a really tough thing. When I find somebody who has been baptized, who has rejected their baptism, rejected God's grace, his claim on them, I do like to direct them back to it and say, God claimed you as his child then. He made you a part of his family, his community at that time, and he has not let go. That's why you're talking to me now, or something like that, is that I could point to you what he has already done and why he is this hound of heaven.
505-7851-800-730-2727. Steve, you're next on the Bible study.
Oh, okay, thank you. Let's assume that Russell Crowe is sincere. Can we, you know, we can
okay.
do that.
Okay. Right.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah, and let's assume that maybe he's like the blind man who sees people, but they look like trees.
Okay.
So he's seeing something, and he's going, okay, I think this is a path to go. Of course, we got so many people teaching all these crazy things, you know, and he's got so many voices talking at him. If I were an outside influence, he's my friend, I would know, too, that if he's sincere, that sooner or later, this form of religion is going to let him down, you know, and he's going to get disappointed. And what may happen is that he could just say, well, forget the whole invisible world thing, I'm done with it. When he hits that point. But we could say, hey, Mr. Crowe, I know that you're searching and things. However, just remember that I don't agree with this, and there is something there. And not necessarily endorse what he's doing, and you know, but at the same time, don't just shoot it full of holes.
Yeah.
But give him the time that he can hit this disappointment. And perhaps, you know, through some outside influence, say, well, there's somebody here that said I was on the right track, kind of, but maybe not fully. Maybe that's the problem, instead of in the future him just throwing the whole thing away.
Sure. Okay. Pastor Jarvis?
Okay. As I hear what he's saying there, if I were not to be the pastor, it would be a little bit different. Say I was a friend of his, and I would say, Russell, this is what I believe. I think this is great that you are, you know, pursuing this. Let me tell you what this is. But if he would keep insisting on it, I would have to say, I'm sorry, I cannot do the baptism with the terms that you are saying here. I don't know. I mean, that would be a slap in his face, I suppose. But I would not feel comfortable treating God's rich gifts that way. I mean, this might be a case of where we're throwing pearl before swine. However, it is quite likely that he's got in his mind, and boy, we are doing so much speculating, but anyway, he's got in his mind that he's going to do it. Besides, he said it on the men's journal and probably some other places. He's kind of obligated now that he were to talk to somebody else and say, yeah, sure, I'll do it. You know, you want to have the shaman do something with it as well and whatever. Fine, I'll do that. And I would have been careful to say, you know, I want to keep this door open. You know that I can't do this in good conscience. And it is not safe to go against conscience, as Luther said there at Worms. And I want to still be your friend. And even though I can't go along with this, I want to be there as you continue to explore. And so, therefore, I'm not the one who is dispensing with God's gifts carelessly, I guess I'd have to say, but still being there to kind of pick up the pieces as, I didn't catch his name.
It was Steve.
As Steve had described it. I don't know if that would be satisfactory to Steve, but...
Well, you know, I was thinking about Priscilla and Aquila in their encounter with Apollos.
Yes.
Now here again, apparently Apollos was a fairly... well catechized, can we put it that way, Christian, but some holes in his in his understanding. And so Priscilla and Aquila take him aside, and they don't say, look, you loser, you know, don't you know about this? Don't you know about that? You should keep your mouth shut until you get your act completely together. What are you thinking here? They don't do that. They take him aside, and they show him a more excellent way.
Yes.
And... Can you use that if you're Russell Crowe's friend? Can you use that approach?
Yeah, oh, definitely. And that's kind of what I was trying to say there. I don't know what he will do. I mean, we're not talking to him. It would be interesting to talk to him. And something that hit me here as we were talking about this is here we are doing all this speculating, and it's not just the hypothetical. There really is a real person who is really going to do this.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know, and here's the thing that, and I don't know, maybe this is a summary of everything we've said up to this point. But in Russell Crowe's case, we know that he was not baptized as a child. He was not baptized as a baby, at least according to the information that we've looked at today. His parents said, we're not going to do that. We're going to wait until he gets old enough to decide for himself. So he is an unbaptized person. It seems to me that anybody who begins a journey as an adult that could end up as a believing person.
Yes.
Just is going to have to wander in the wilderness on that journey. I just don't know if there is a straight line between those two points. I suppose that, you know, the Apostle Paul being an exception, having his conversion done all very nicely there in those days on the road to Damascus. But for the most part, don't you find, Pastor, even if you're dealing with people in an adult inquiry class or a membership class, that you're just going to have to walk with them on a kind of a crooked, meandering road to get where it is that you're all trying to get to?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I liked your example with Apollos. I think sometimes we expect people to be at a certain point and cannot allow for the fact that they do need to be guided. And that's expected. And that's why I keep going back to saying, I hope the pastor is responsible, the one that is asked to do the baptism, because this is where the guidance along this meandering path is going to be provided. You know, I don't believe Australia is considered a Christian nation. I think that it's probably a spiritual one, but I don't believe that it would be considered to be guided by Christian or Judeo-Christian principles or whatever. And so he might actually be bucking the system a little bit or going against the tide when he is getting himself baptized. So it is a good thing. And I look at the passage where it says, a bruised reed and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out.
Patience, yeah.
Exactly. But I still, you know, I would want for him to say, Well, it's, boy, I'm about to open a big can here.
don't open it too far because you only got 3 minutes.
Then I'm not even going to say it. Okay.
Well, you know, in the 3 minutes that remain, I guess what we're talking about here is trying to strike a proper tension between the urgency and the gravity of eternity. I mean, eternity hangs in the balance here.
Yes.
And that gives us the greatest sense of urgency. But then on the other side of the coin is patience and long-suffering and not willing to put out a smoldering wick and feeling that sense of urgency, yet willing to be patient and bring a person along maybe at their own pace. That's a frustrating kind of a scenario.
You don't baptize an adult without taking them through the instructions, the catechesis. I mean, that's the way that we do it for what we are talking about here. If I were the one asked to do it, I'd say I would like to baptize Tennyson, but I would like to show you what is going on here before you are being baptized so that there is, you know, so that being the guide in that meandering path, I don't want to just say, oh, look at what you're suggesting here. I don't want to have anything to do with it. You've got to give them the time and show the concern that they would know the truth.
Well, I guess we can all pray for Russell Crowe.
Yeah, I think it would be a good thing to do.
There's no way to know this, I guess, but it would be interesting to find out why the local vicar fell out of favor with Russell Crowe.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and what it might, maybe the local vicar would not go along with motorcycles at the baptism or whatever it is that they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Let's try to sneak one more call in here. We got less than a minute. Hi, Arpad, you're on the Bible study.
Yes, I want to tell the pastor that Australia is basically Anglican.
Okay.
Therefore, it is Christian.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks.
And that would be why they would talk about a bishop and a vicar. Yes. Anglican. Sure, that would make sense.
Oh, okay.
Being a Commonwealth.
Arpad, way to sneak a fastball in there, right there on the outside corner, right at the end of the program. Pastor Jarvis, it's always a joy to talk to you.
Thank you.
Next time I talk to you, you'll be a lot colder than you are now. I guess you know that, don't you?
Probably so, yes.
Pastor Robert Jarvis, Zion Lutheran Church, Morris, Minnesota. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And that is our Ask the Pastor Hour here on the Bible Study. Now, I reserved a little time for myself here because I would like to do everything I can to encourage you, if you live in proximity of Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, to come out and share a live Bible study program with us. We're going to do that tomorrow at Timothy Lutheran Church as we continue in the book of Genesis. And our guest will be the Reverend Dr. Gerald Kieschnick. He is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We had to set this up months and months in advance because he is, as you are no doubt are aware, a very, very busy man. He will be our guest on the Bible study in a live broadcast from Timothy Lutheran Church. We've got lunch after that, so no good reason for you not to come out. The weather will be great, and I hope to see you. I'd like to shake your hand at that live Bible study. That is tomorrow. Timothy, hope to see you there.
Listen to Chuck Rather and guests Monday through Friday at the same time on the Bible study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of the Bible Study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.